quieting mind is hard. Now how about emptying of yourself? First time I heard this term, my immediate response is, what does that mean? I need I to do anything. How can I empty me and still be me? That was my silly question. And this is where I believe meditation could meet worship in a very complementary way. Emptying of self. The part of the self that we want to empty is the egotistic side, the selfish side, the side that is constantly feeding me, in a way, non-spiritual things, the ones that are not very helpful to me. To a degree, the things that are destructive to me, but still it feeds me. How do we empty that? And the worship comes in because, in a truth, essence of worship, the first and most important thing is humility. In ancient days, worship is actually having an awe of the being that has made you, the being that is surrounding you, the being that is infinitely bigger and larger and more loving than you, yet has relationship with you. You're at awe of that being because you experience that and you feel yourself infinitely small. And yet, that's okay because you're part of the being that is infinitely loving. So being small is okay. You don't have to be big. I don't have to be significant. I don't have to be important. I don't have to do something special about it. I can just be me here. And this being embraces me and loves me and welcomes me. This humility brings actually very positive side. So, in reflecting that, coming into the divine, the creator, that you empty yourself, the part that is encouraging you, feeding you with the ideas, concepts, feelings that is ultimately not good for you. You're kind of pushing that one away. And making a space. And the space is filled by this infinitely loving, welcoming, nurturing presence. And that's where the meditation could meet worship. And emptying of self could work. I often hear that reading Old Testament is hard. And today's scripture reading is not an easy one to read, if you really read it. Another way of reading the Old Testament that I often do these days is that in the beginning, people were listening to the voice of God. They were able to listen to the voice of God directly. When we lost that ability, when we lost our mind to connect to God directly, God had to write the rules on a stone. That says a lot. Entering into the divine presence, those rules, are they there to punish us? Those rules, are they there to check us, saying that, oh, you bad guy, you did this, so I damn you. Is that what God was trying to communicate? And my perception, no. As a human father to my child, I set many rules. And some of them are quite harsh and strong as my son gets a little older. Do I set those rules because I can punish him? Do I set those rules because somehow I want to damn him? Of course not. But there are certain ways that I need to show my son, just my example, limitations, boundaries. Or what it in a way ultimately means is that if he does it this way, that'll make our heart, mom and dad's heart, happy, and he will have a good relationship with us. And essentially, that's good for him. I mean, that's what I do as a human father. And my God is loving God who is infinitely bigger than I am, infinitely loving than I am. Therefore, I cannot read this commandment and rules in a way that God wants to punish us. God's setting the rules to push us away. It's probably opposite. These are the ways we can enter into the presence. And these are the ways God wants to welcome us. And if you are ever wondering that if God will push you away, no. If you find a way to enter into the presence of God, in my understanding, God loves you and welcomes you. The only problem is, these days, we need to find the door. There are so many doors available, but we need to find one. It doesn't take much. Number one, it takes your willingness to find one. And two, you, when you find it, you open it. That's all that takes. But as you know, finding the door, opening it, means something much more than just opening a door that is attached to a building. So enter into the presence of divine, which is already available, already surrounding you. You're alive, you feel joys and delights. That's the sign that God is within you, God is living with you. Just bring it into your more conscious acknowledgement. To me, that's one way to say entering into the presence of God. So, in practicing that, today we'll have a gong sounding for about 3 minutes. And I asked John to sound the gong for every 30 seconds. And I heard that some person saying the gong sound is sometimes disruptive. I need to explain why gong. The sound of gong represents the invitation of God to enter into the presence that is already around you. So try to center yourself, focus around the sound of the gong. As it gets strong and fade away, as it gets strong and fade away. Okay, so we'll have 3 minutes and you'll hear exactly about 6 sound of gongs. So please close your eyes. One famous question that we all joke about is, which one's first, chicken or egg? Right? In spiritual practice, which one comes first? Change of the mind or change of the behaviors? This one, we kind of know the answer. But yet, don't rush to answer that, because sometimes we change our mind first, then we apply it in action, our mind get lost with that inspiration. So we don't want to do what is right, but since we started doing it right, we enforce the action more, then that actually helps mind to change yet again. This is the way how Swedenborg describes about our process of being a good person. So we receive an inspiration, a clarity in mind, a different perspective on same reality. Now, next step is to apply into your body, into your life, which will definitely meet a challenge. And the challenge will have a good justification using your own logic, because basically what you're fighting against yourself. So this restoration of body and the mind needs work and work and work. And sometimes mind first and next body, then the body first and it goes to the mind. Important rule here is that consistency and persistency. I'm a bowler, so in a bowling's way, how do you bowl well? Well, I don't know any other way but to practice. So if you have gained something at this moment or at any other moment, next is cultivated, followed by implementation. And next is persistent on implementation until it becomes part of you. Then it is yours. So we'll, next, last one is silent meditation led by John. So in the silent meditation, my recommendation is to refocus, go through what happened today from the beginning to the moment. And if you have gained clarity, inspiration, I ask you to hold on to it and kind of make a mental mark in your mind so that you carry it to your life after this moment.
As I sit here now in this chair, in this room, these people, with this body, this mind, these feelings, the mind may not be quiet. The body may be restless. The feelings topsy-turvy. Sometimes imagine some silent, blissful, metaphysical heaven for deep prayer and meditation, but how I actually am is the only place I can start. Looking at that, taking an interest in that, stepping back just a few millimeters from that, to watch it, to love it, to accept it, to see it. If I think about it, the act of prayer or meditation is more about my attention than anything else. Am I willing to try to give my attention to my prayer? To the silence, to my state as it is. I see I have a foothold way in. So, Lord, as we enter together into the holiness of silent prayer, I await thee. I attend to thee. I wish to to be worked upon by your loving and wise action. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of our world. Fill our hearts with your love, our minds with your truth, and our hands with your loving service. Amen.
May the blessing and love of God be upon you. May your heart feel and perceive and experience that love. May your mind find a way to live and express that love in your life from now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.